sleep. Boy, he's hurt himself in the fall. No wonder. He hit space. What a monstrosity of a leap.
And how about the bloke who got the ride on? His old mate Tommy Hawkins.
They have Felix Baumgartner written all over it. The man that jumped out of the capsule up in space.
20-5.
Felix Baumgartner.
The third oldest player to make an AFL debut. The oldest to play 100 games. Beat the great Barry Cable. A premiership player with Geelong. Most importantly, a great team man. James Podsiadly has retired. He joins us in the studio. A remarkable career and story, J-Pod.
Yeah, well, it is, I suppose, but on reflection. But thanks for having me in here, Rowie and Bix. I actually really enjoy coming in here.
Hmm. Good man. Yeah. Is it Podra or J-Pod still? Kicking 11 in your last game.
Either's fine.
Okay.
Either's fine.
Tears or happiness?
No, look, I've been preparing for this moment for a while. I knew this was my last year. So I think playing my last game a couple of weeks ago at Glenelg, I did get a little bit emotional going out because I knew it was going to be my last one effectively. Ever since then, it's been pretty positive and looking forward to what's next.
Mm. Oh, we'll get to that a little bit later, but just in terms of your career and the journey that it took, it is remarkable. Rowie talked about the late debut. Just run us through the some of the obstacles that you faced. You started at Essendon, was it Collingwood? Just give us the listeners a bit of that journey.
It's a long story,
because right.
as you know, but I think at the start I was always being told that there was one deficiency or a couple of deficiencies in my game, so every year I'd just go away and work on that deficiency, and effectively it took me 10 years to
work them all out.
You must have been a buckled wheel.
I'm still buckled now. Yeah, so I suppose I learned along the way. I learned a lot along the way, and it made me a better player. And the thing I take from the game now is all the coaches that have helped me, all the people that have supported me, they've made me the player I was in the end, so I'm very grateful.
And just tell us about, you end up making that debut at Geelong. You were actually working on their fitness staff, weren't you? So how did you go make that jump from fitness staff to rookie list to playing? And look, there's 100 stories out there about they used to do competitive work, you used to fill in and win most of the things. Is that right?
Oh, I did a bit of contested marking with some of the key position guys, and that's a bit of a, I'm not too sure, maybe a bit of a rumour that's why it happened. But, I think I was going to, a fitness coach. I was going to London to do a week with the English rugby team, and the day before I left, Stephen Wells, Stephen Hocking, and I think Neil Barm at the time got me in the office and said, and I thought they were bringing me in to say, when you're over in London, can you check out X, Y, and Z for us while you're over there? And then they actually said, what are your thoughts about being a mature age rookie? And I said, well, I've sort of got this career progression in fitness, and how's that going to affect me there? And he said, oh, look, if it's up to you. And it took me about 30 seconds to work out that's what I wanted to do, because I tried for 10 years to do that. And I suppose the rest is history. But one story I suppose that hasn't been told is I heard that a fair while later that there was a couple of players, key influential players of the club, actually went to Wellesley and Barmy and asked for me to be put on the list. So those couple of guys I'll be forever grateful for.
Name them.
Matthew Scarlett and Cameron Ling, I think.
Well, both of them know a good quality football when they see one. And then you end up playing in a premiership with them.
Absolutely.
But what about when you first came in? I think you kicked 50 goals in your first 19 games. You burst onto the scene. You must have been unbelievable. You thought, why haven't I done this earlier? Because you just dominated pretty much from the start.
Well, I remember Bomber Thompson saying something to me early days. I played a few practice games, and I was pretty nervous. And I think at the time, as a footballer, I thought I had to go to another level playing AFL, and I tried to do too much. And he said to me, mate, don't try and do too much. Don't overcomplicate it. Do what you've been doing for the last 5 years in the VFL. Mm. And once I started to relax and just play footy, it just sort of came.
We got Graham Studley Corns on after 5, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but I remember I called a game with Stud, and J-Pod kicked 4 against the Crows, and Stud's famous words were, he will never kick 4 again. Well, I think he did another 12 times, and every time that we say, Stud, there you go, he can kick it. Hey, you move to Adelaide's. Been fantastic for us, the players.
Thanks.
You played 21 games in your first year done this year. For you, how good a move has it been?
Oh, absolutely. My wife and I have just loved living in Adelaide and South Australia. and embracing the community. And from a club perspective, it's just been fantastic to see the club evolve over the last 2 years. And it's something I'm really keen to be a part of going forward. So the move to come to Adelaide at the end of my time at Geelong is I'm very lucky and I'm grateful for.
Who spoke to you about that you might not get a game this year? Because we were amazed that there was opportunities you could have got in. How did you sit and how did that sit with you?
I spoke to Phil last October, November, potentially about hanging him up back then, just from that fact that we wanted to develop some of our younger guys. And I thought, if I get in the way at all, let me know. I'm happy to retire now. And he said, look, mate, I'm really keen for you to stick around. There's going to be an opportunity for you to play games this year. But it didn't eventuate for whatever reason. The timing of an injury I had early in the year was it. But to be honest, a good club is a club with depth. And we had key forwards all year who played really well. JJ, Lynchy, Tex, yeah. They all developed. So I think having me playing in the SNFL was probably a good sign from the AFL team's perspective.
One of the things, having observed you love working with younger players and not even some of the older guys, but you just have a thing for working with other people and helping them out and making them better. So is that the next phase of your life? You're going to continue down that path?
Not in a full-time capacity, Bix. Obviously, I've got a business which I'm really heavily invested in, so I've got to focus most of my energy on that. But there is an opportunity next year that I will be at the club part-time and helping those guys out, like you've probably seen me in the last 2 years.
So talk to us about the business, the Reactivate Group, is that right?
That's right.
And basically it's about getting peak performance out of people, is it?
Well, exactly. We've just launched about to launch a platform. The website's up now, thewellbeingchallenge.com. And what it is, it's a digital platform for workplaces around Australia. And we want to actually change behaviours and improve people's well-being. So why people get stressed at work and why their well-being decreases is their behaviours are poor. So our platform is designed to change them in 8 key components of your life.
Oh, give me the 8 because I'm struggling.
Are you really? Physical activity, nutrition,
doing that.
Relationships, sleep. How's your sleep?
No, sleep's good. Oh, yeah. I'm 3 from 4. Keep going.
Finances. Your finances are flying, so don't worry about that.
Oh, no. Mama Bear's very expensive. So I'm 3 from 5.
Leadership and career. So there's probably a couple of things there that most people don't correlate well with well-being. But if you've got high leadership skills, your well-being's likely to be higher. And if your career's on track and you feel comfortable with it, your well-being's going to be higher too.
Reactive Group. It's workplace wellbeing. It's a digital platform. You can log on to wellbeingchallenge.com.
The Wellbeing Challenge, yep. .com.
And you can get J-Pod out there and get your organisation absolutely pumping. And I think if AA doesn't ring J-Pod after this interview, Bix, we don't know what we're on about. Hey, when are you off to the USA?
I'm going over there for work just before the sports trip. But the sports trip starts on the 15th of October, and I'm really looking forward to that. I spoke to Tony Modra, gave me a call today and just congratulated me on my career and stuff, and he also said, your next task is to keep me out of trouble in the United States. I was like,
geez.
Well, Mod's over there. Yeah. Mod's coming on the trip too.
Yeah,
so,
I know. How good's that? Yeah. And Kavo.
Yep.
Yeah, Peter Cavan.
Bix was meant to go, but we said no.
Yeah, put your foot down. I was really keen, but in the end, they got a couple of bigger stars than what I am. So you're happy.
Now, you organised Wacky Wednesday. Tell us about that for the group.
I did, along with Hendo. Hendo was a big help. But look, we had a venue in the city at the Cumberland Arms Hotel, which was fantastic. The owner there was more than generous for his time and resources he provided. But the boys had a fantastic day. We had the guys in 4 teams and organised T-shirts for everyone. It was just a bit of fun. So nothing untoward happened. I think I just said to you before that my cheeks were still sore from smiling and laughing so
hard.
Don't
you love those days where you giggle that much that your cheeks are sore when you wake up in the morning?
Absolutely.
Oh, I love those days. Yeah.
What about, though, what I couldn't believe was just a few of the stories wafting back that by 7:30 a few of the little younger guys in particular just said, I've had enough, I'm going home, and nights.
I was one of them.
And older. No. I think times have changed. I know probably for the better, but it's a differing world now, isn't it?
I used to get back 7 o'clock the next day. And Bix was 7 o'clock the next day after that. Try to pretend you weren't a player. You were.
Anyway.
Very good.
Move over.
Yeah.
Move on, I should say. Just getting back, we probably glossed over the premiership that you won at Geelong. How fulfilling was that in terms of, I guess, a lot of people play their whole career, never get that opportunity, and your timing was impeccable. You got in there and played a big role in that year.
it was pretty surreal, Bix. I don't know if I've told you this story, but, you know, playing VFL all those years, I had this vision of winning an AFL premiership, and I thought I'd never, ever achieve it. But that vision just motivated me to train harder, do the extras, play harder. And when it actually happened, I don't remember, but I spoke to a reporter in an interview after the game, and about 3 months later, my business partner handed me an article, which I hadn't seen, and I told him about that vision. Mm. And it was kind of just really weird reading that back again, because I did have that vision of winning an AFL premiership, even though I thought it never happened, but it was just something to work towards, and it motivated me. So when it did happen, mate, I was blown away.
Mm. Well, you've done it twice, Bix. Were you the same? You used to be a visionary?
Look, I visualise, not so much of actually getting there. I just used to sort of smaller steps along the way and just trying to keep ticking them off. But it's I was probably similar, probably a little bit younger than you, but you get to a point in your career, and I was probably 28, I think, when we won the premiership, and it's you get to 25, 26, and those years keep ticking off, and you think, wow, am I going to do it? So that when you do it, there's that enormous relief. That's the thing that I felt first anyway. But it's pretty spectacular.
And we're talking about heroic like it's us that won it, but the reality of it is that we actually share it with, in your case, 20 other guys and coaches and all the guys that played with you during that year. Like, the 22 guys get recognised in the coach in the day, but I've still got very close mates at Geelong who played in that year and didn't get lucky enough to play in the grand final. But those are the guys that you really feel for, but also that you're connected with forever.
You don't sound to me like a bloke that has regrets, any?
No, definitely not. I know that I said to my wife the other day, leaving the game now, I've got the most out of myself. If I hadn't done that and I didn't train as hard as I had and did all the extras, I'd probably have some regrets, but I've got the best out of my ability.
Well, not many people of your size as key position players go on to 34, so that in itself is quite remarkable.
Yeah, I think I was lucky that I started playing AFL at that intensity at 28, so it probably helped me a little bit.
How'd you tell the group?
I didn't get up in front of the group. I just I think they just saw the media release today, maybe. Most of the group knew all year, to be honest, internally, and I did talk to some younger guys about, make the most of your opportunities and all that sort of stuff, but the group did know it was going to be my last year, so I didn't really have to go up in front of them and do the whole it's about me.
Nah, because you're not like that. Team first man, if ever there was one. How did Paddy tell you he was leaving, and when did that all go down?
Just a private conversation at the start of the week, really, when he was going to, he told me that he was going to tell the rest of the group and whatnot. So,
Tears?
With me? No.
No, him.
No, I know he's found the last couple of weeks tough, but
it would have been.
But to be honest, mate, he works for 5AA here. You all know what kind of guy he is. He's
top of the tree.
Yeah, his values and the way he handles himself is phenomenal. So we've seen that same sort of values in this process.
What position is the club in now? How do you see it? Because obviously you've got a trained eye. They've lost the player. They've lost there's a coaching spot to be filled. The director of coaching is gone. Is it still a positive place? Are you still happy and comfortable where the direction of the club is heading?
Absolutely, Bix. I think from what I've seen in my 16 years, and you've probably seen more than me, but players come and go at every club, whether it's a player like me retiring, Paddy moving on, or guys getting delisted, there's always going to be changes. And the one thing that should stay consistent and constant is your culture. And I think where our culture is at the moment, anyone can come in and out of it, and it's strong enough to embrace that and go forward. So the good clubs over the last couple of years who have lost key players, coaches, key personnel have actually gone on to win premierships. So as good as Paddy is, I think our culture and any club culture is stronger.
And that's what you're going to work with, that and the leadership next year in some vein?
Yeah, I think everyone within a football club works within a culture of an organisation. But I do like that component of team and corporation. So I do plan to do a little bit there.
And Darren Glass, will he continue on, do you know?
Look, I'm not sure. Yeah. Not sure. We gotta get a coach first, I suppose, and once we get that, we can start to nullify roles.
And we spoke off air, and I hope we're not speaking out of school with this, but you said there's enough goodwill between two great clubs in Crows and Geelong that you're confident that a deal will be done between the two, because that's good intel to know, and you know both clubs intimately.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, with the people that are doing this deal with Paddy, and if Paddy does choose Geelong, I don't think that's come out yet or whatever it is, but if it is the case, I mean, Adelaide...
He's picked Geelong. He has picked Geelong. That's the only club. It Adelaide's is got Geelong... Some...
quality people who think about the club and the betterment of the club. Geelong have got some quality people who understand that there's got to be some fairness in a deal. So if I was a Crow supporter or a member, I wouldn't be too concerned about the deal we're going to get.
Do you see yourself being a long-term base here in Adelaide? I know you're working in Adelaide next year, the part-time. Is it something you're going to... You want to stay in Adelaide, or do you think at some stage you might drift somewhere else?
No, I don't... Look, it's one of those things. I thought I might have been at Geelong for a lot longer than what I was too, so the opportunity came up to come over here, and we embraced it and love it. So at the moment, I think we're looking at 1 to 2 years, but if there's opportunities that arise to stay in Adelaide after that, from a business perspective or a football perspective, I'm all ears because I actually love living here.
Mm. On the grand final, will you do the long kick, the grand final sprint, or the motorcade for past greats?
Neither.
Oh, you're not going to go to the grand final?
No.
Oh, you'll be away, won't you?
No, when you leave on your trip? No, we are a week after.
Okay. Yep. Now, was there still one spot available there or not? Didn't you say you were going to...
All done. Got filled.
Yeah.
Okay. And is Phil Harper going as well?
Yeah, Phil Harper's going. He's organised it.
Yes. But tell us the trip then, just quickly. Get a salvation. Are you going to see the Hayne plane for the 49ers?
No. They're going down to California, but they're in LA the last 5 days. But the first 5 days are in Seattle. We're going to see the Washington Huskies play. We're a massive college team over there against the Oregon Ducks, who's probably the biggest. Seattle Seahawks versus Carolina. Mm-hmm. Tour of the Seahawks facility the next day after the game.
You'll be able to write all this off too on your business.
Absolutely.
Oh, Mr. Taxman! Catching!
And then down to LA, and they've got a few college games, basketball games and baseball games.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it is fantastic. Just a quick an email that's come through from Gary says, G'day, guys. Just would like to thank J-Pod for his contribution to the Adelaide Football Club, the AFL, and also the SANFL. What an amazing football story. Glad that part of it was in Adelaide. Thanks, James. Very much appreciated. So I think, fans want to have their say and just say thank you for the contribution you've made.
I plan to continue that contribution.
The Reactive Group, a workplace wellbeing digital platform's being launched. It's wellbeingchallenge.com.
Thewellbeingchallenge.com.
J-Pod, mate, well done. You've always put team first. Your middle name should be team. Your resilience, I think, and Bix, you can testify for this. Your persistence, just a competitor that just wanted to keep getting better. You got the best out of your body, and that's all you can say. Mate, congratulations on behalf of all of us. We're glad we tasted you for a couple of years, and we thank you on behalf of AA because you've always come in. You promised us you would always come in and eyeball us at the interview, and you've done that for 2 years, and it takes a lot to take out of your time to do it, but J-Pod, we really appreciate that and your friendship and that leadership that you've given us.
I'll just say a quick thank you to 5AA, you, Rowie, and also Bix for coaching me last year, but to an older guy to come into the South Australia and to be embraced like I was, to be honest, it's made my job a lot easier, so thanks to you and the 5AA team and all the supporters out there.
Well done. James Podgiadley, our guest.